Rusty Quill presents.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
You can't live in the moment. Not really. It's fleeting, ephemeral, over before you can even conceive of it. So maybe you can live in the moment, as in physically, but you can't ever think in the moment. Only just after or just before. It's too brief. Impossibly brief. That doesn't stop me from trying. Welcome back to Spirit Box Radio. Faithful listeners, in light of recent events, I really think I should probably stop airing the show, at least for some time. But the problem is that I can't seem to stop. I have no desire to, even as a quiet part of my brain is telling me that I should. It's a compulsion, maybe? I don't know. I work so hard. I can't imagine my life without it. I don't want to. Anyway, I wrote to Nagisa last week, after Oliver left. He mentioned the allergies on my throat, and Anna said she doesn't think I had it when I was little, so I thought I'd ask Nagisa, as they seem to have a bit of knowledge about what kinds of weird arcanism things Madame Marie was doing way back when. I don't know how long it will be until we hear back from them. It sounds like it takes some time for them to be able to respond to anything, and, well, you know. It's all rather besides the point, I suppose. I shall press on. Never fear, faithful listeners. I'll not let my meagre spirits rob you of your enlightenment segment yet. I have an augury forecast for this week, faithful listeners. I found this one squeezed into the margins of a menu that came through the door. I'll share it with you now. If you walk beneath the trees, expect a drop from the heavens. Word from the pigeons in Bath is that it's a bad time in general, so don't worry about it. Dear Mr. Enfield, please call me Sam. Mr. Enfield was, well, I don't know if there ever has been one, to be honest. Anyway, just Sam will do. Hang on. Where did this letter come from? I was just reading off the menu and I turned the page because there was more augury forecasts on the next one and there's a letter here. I don't understand. Well, I may as well read it, I suppose. Okay. Dear Mr. Enfield, I'm not sure how to begin this. You know of my child, though I'm told you do not know as much about him as you rightly should. According to him, you would have been friends with him when he was a child, but from what I gather, you don't have any recollection of your childhood, so I imagine that your recollections of him would be gone too. That is, if any of this is real. I'm of half a mind to think that this is all some elaborate kind of hoax. But I know that at least in some ways it can't be. Because I saw her, my Georgie, I saw her in my house. They were not the way they used to be when they came to me. I don't know how to describe it. In films and things, they always show ghosts as kind of transparent, colours washed out, but Georgie was more colour than anything else. There was no shape of him, and yet there was something there. It was definitely Georgie. I would know him anywhere, and yet I could tell there was less of them than there should have been. She was flickering, indistinct. It would be a mistake to describe him as lesser or anything like that, but he certainly was not whole. As I watched, she moved under my gaze like TV static. When they spoke, it came out of the walls and the floors rather than the thing of them itself. You see, Mr. Enfield, I've never had much cause to believe in ghosts. I have lived on Baymouth Road for many years. It's a quiet kind of street, more of a lane really, shadowed half in trees. I moved here when my children were very small. It was the garden that did it, if I'm honest with you. A little stream runs along the back, and myself and most of the others on the street have our own little gates which open right onto it. When my children were small, they'd paddle there in the summer, collect frog spawn and the like. I grew up in a city, and I was determined to give my children a connection with nature I feel I had been robbed of in my own childhood, but I do wonder if in the end we'd have all been better off had we stayed in the city after all. I think Georgie was 8 when they started to talk about the house on the corner. They'd go off out the gate by the stream and be gone all day until it was time for tea, and then they'd sit and jabber their way through dinner at the house and the boy that lived there. Perhaps it was my fault that Georgie ended up the way she did. I have encouraged all my children to be imaginative. I read them fairy stories. And when they were small, I'd take them on walks around the woods of Dizeth and make up myths and legends. I've told them the crevice filled with wildflowers at the top of the waterfall was a fairy garden. I told them the trolls lived in little caves just off the footpath up to the old quarry. I taught them to tell stories. So at first, this house on the corner, a corner which is and always has been just a flat expanse of grass and weeds, well, it didn't bother me. I dare say I even encouraged it. It was Georgie's little game, and that was fine. The thing is, when Georgie grew up and left to go to university, as children are meant to do, they still mentioned the house on the corner. And after a few years, I started to get concerned because it was stagnating from an ordinary childhood game into a grown-up obsession. He told me. The boy was younger than me, but he never went to school. I checked the records. I told them that was because Sam Enfield didn't exist, and neither did the house on the corner. 3 months later, my Georgie disappeared. There was all this stuff online, people speculating, saying Georgie was involved in the occult, but then others, they were saying something else, arcanism. I don't know. It was all really upsetting. But strange things had started happening even before Georgie vanished. It started with the milkman. It was one of the best things about living in a village, that we got a milkman who would stop by every 3 or 4 days and leave fresh milk, juice and bread on the doorstep. One day, though, it just stopped. I rang them up, asked what had happened, and they seemed to not know who I was. I went to the shop on the high street the next morning when I knew they'd be stopping in to stock the fridges, and they didn't recognise me then either, even though I've known them for years. Not until we actually started speaking did they recognise who I was. That autumn we didn't get the yellow pages or the phone book. The kids who did the paper round stopped coming down our road, and when I signed up to Amazon to do some shopping online, our address didn't come up when I put in the postcode, only the houses on Pandy Lane. It was like the whole of Baymouth Road had been erased. When Georgie went off to university, they struggled at first because they said they felt invisible. But within a couple of months, I was ringing her up and asking why she hadn't called me. Georgie said he'd completely forgotten. He sounded afraid. She said she'd forgotten not just to call, but that I'd existed at all. I was hurt by that, naturally, but I assumed it was a natural part of them fleeing the nest. I don't know. Now I think I was writing off things I shouldn't have. But, oh, maybe a year after Georgie disappeared. There he was, or maybe not. Both there and not there at the kitchen table, saying she'd seen her friend. I told them the house wasn't real, it wasn't real. And then she was gone. A week later, Wednesday evening, he was back. We had the same conversation, to the word. A week later the same, and again a week after that. And then I snapped. I saw them sitting there and I screamed bloody murder, telling them to snap out of it, but they wouldn't. They just kept on going and going, like what I said didn't matter. And then I realised we weren't just having the same conversation. We were having the last conversation we had had before they disappeared. So I did what I did then. I pulled out the photo of him on the corner and I laid it in front of him on the tabletop and gasped because there was a house in the photograph. I turned from the thing that was maybe Georgie and maybe not, and I ran out of the front door practically flying. And there it was, the house on the corner. The front door was ajar, a golden light pouring around its white edges. I stepped up the path. I saw her then, Georgie. He was standing on the floor by the radio. It was playing a show. The host, you said your name was Sam Enfield. Georgie turned and looked at me. Told me it was all real. I squeezed my eyes shut and when I opened them again, I was standing on an empty plot of land, broken only by a pile of rubble. Thick with weeds. I thought myself mad. I had pored obsessively over what Georgie had said once she disappeared, as though maybe he'd been abducted and there was something wrong, something I had to do to find him. I knew your name was Sam Enfield, that you were on the radio, but I had no idea about anything else other than my old wild speculations about drug lords and human trafficking. I looked up old high school records. I found an Ekaterina and an Anastasia Enfield registered at Georgie's school a few years above him, but no Sam. I asked a friend who worked at the local hospital for a favour, and she said there was a registered birth under the name of a Samael Apollo Enfield in November of 1998, with the father listed as unknowable, which makes you 5 years younger than my Georgie. And then I found out this show that you're hosting about this arcanism thing. It connects up with everything Georgie had been saying on the message boards before they disappeared. When I finally find your show, you're talking about her with some girl I've never heard of. I don't know what you want with my Georgie, but I beg of you, have mercy. I'm The letter writer doesn't sign off with a name. I'm sorry, Georgie's parent. I wish I understood any of this, but I don't. What with everything that's happened recently with Beth and Mystery and, well, a bunch of forum users, actually. They're all... Yeah, I don't know. The house is something, and it's... I just don't know. What I gather from Kitty and Anna is that it used to be a real house that was really there, and then, after whatever happened the night before my 7th birthday when it collapsed, something has sometimes been there in its place. Not quite a house, but also not quite not a house. An impossible house. An artifact of the arcane. I know it changed when I woke up. When the forums were created too, and... Oh no. Georgie disappeared in 2015. That caller, Emily, that's what she said. That's 6 years ago. That's when I started to get little pieces of remembering before everything starts to come together around when I turn 18. Something. There's something. It's just out of reach. If I could just work it out.
Message
then...
received at 6:06 a.m.
I didn't ask you to play. What?
6:66666.
Hold a little bit. Straying close to the wire now, aren't we?
It's them from before.
It's me.
You can hear me. But you're recording.
Oh, I see.
I can be a little more present, if you like.
How? How? What?
Always the wrong questions, little bit.
What do you mean I'm close to the wire?
Ooh, that's better. Certainly a more useful question to be asking. It will all be clear in time.
You keep saying that. In time? What does that mean?
It means that you will learn when it is right for you to learn, not before.
So why come to me at all?
To show you that you are not alone.
Not alone? What do you mean?
You are not alone.
But I already know that. I have Anna and Kitty and... Well, I definitely have Kitty and Anna.
And so much more.
So much more... Wait, do you mean them? Georgie and Emily and Beth and Mystery? The ones on the forums who say they are mine somehow?
In time.
God, Oliver, he said something about being forbidden. That there was a taboo he couldn't break. That there was only so much he could say. Is that what this is? Are you forbidden from talking too?
Silly Samael. We cannot be bound.
What does that mean? Who is we? Indifference, ignorance and ingratitude? The deadly sins? Are you one of the Major Arcana too? You're loyal to him, aren't you? You're with the one who walks here and there.
In time.
Why do you keep coming to me like this when you won't tell me anything?
Wrong question, little bit.
How will I know when it's time?
Wrong question.
Well, just tell me what the right question is. Hey, coward, come back. I'll what? Explode a light bulb at you, maybe? Ugh. What am I even saying? I hate this. I hate it so much. How is it I've learned so much, but I still feel like I know absolutely nothing? I need to get out of the house. I need some air. Thank you, faithful listeners. Thank you for tuning in. I bid you a restful night.
Spirit Box Radio is a podcast distributed by Hanging Sloth Studios under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 Share Alike International license. It was created by me, Pippin Aeromajor, the voice of Sam Enfield. Billy Bray is the voice of Scourge. Music is by Maybe Wednesday. If you like the show, let us know on Twitter at Hanging Sloths or stop by at our website, hangingslothstudios.com. If you'd like to help us keep making Spirit Box Radio, you can send us a tip on ko-fi.com/hangingsloths or become a slothling on Patreon at patreon.com/hangingslothstudios, where you can get early access to episodes plus loads of other great rewards. You can buy merch in our coffee shop, links in the description. Spirit Box Radio is recorded in front of a dead studio audience.
Tune in, get spooky.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.